just wanna speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within his presence. I speak Jesus.
I had such a sense in worship this morning that where there's cobwebs in our lives and shadows in the life of the church, in our personal lives, that it's been blasted open this morning. I felt particularly for shame, and I sensed the blowing of the shofar is part of that. It's a prophetic declaration of just blasting open those things that might have been stagnant in our lives, might have been hidden. But especially for shame, I trust that as you listen this morning, if you're struggling with shame, hidden secrets, things that you can't share with anyone or you haven't shared before, that today's the day that you can be set free from that. So if you're here and that's hard to hear and you're feeling a bit scared, you're in the right place. The Lord has brought you here to hear this word about freedom this morning, freedom from shame. We're going to blast that out of the water this morning. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Amen. Awesome. Awesome. We are ready. I'm going to speak this morning about walking in the light. We are called to walk in the light and not in the darkness. We sang quite a bit this morning about the light versus the darkness. I definitely want to walk in the light. There's enough darkness in the world. I think many of you might be like me, that when you were little, you were scared of the dark. And I think as I've grown up, I've realized that it's a healthy fear sometimes. Not so much of the physical darkness, but it's a symbol for us of actually walking around and not seeing clearly, not walking in the light that Christ has called us to walk in. There's so many things in our lives that we just slowly allow in, and it kind of gets a bit murky, a bit gray, and we haven't realized that the light has got a bit dimmer in our lives. And so when we're in God's kingdom, we are spiritual beings. When we're born into God's kingdom, we are spiritual beings, eternal beings. And I'm very excited and a little bit nervous about the brightness of the light in heaven when we get there one day. I'm so excited, but I believe the Lord will give us eyes that can handle it. Or maybe we just walk around bowing. I'm not sure, but we want that light. We want to get used to walking in the light and used to being with Christ in the light. So we've been covering a few topics over the last few weeks, of things like abiding in Christ, intimacy over indifference, and then last week was joyful suffering. Who found that exciting? It was a hard, good word from Pete. I think it was too hard, he left as well, but that's okay. Kids' church is also a good place to be today. So today I'm going to focus, I said, walking in the light, just as Christ is in the light. And the key verses I'll be looking at is 1 John 1, verse 5 to 9. I'm going to read that to start off. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What cleanses us? The blood, exactly. We repeated it until you got it. There's nothing that we can do in and of ourselves. There's no amount of counseling. There's no amount of self-help books that can get us to a place where we can be righteous, where our sins can be cleansed. It's only the blood of Jesus. So the first thing we're going to look at is God is light. There is no darkness in him. I think in the world we live in today, there's so many false gods and so many things that would speak to us about finding comfort or finding relief from the suffering in the world. Things like yoga and mindfulness and things that there's a space to engage with the Lord through meditating on his word, all of those things, most definitely. But we want to ultimately walk in the light with him directly and know the truth. That is all that sets us free. That blood that gives us a relationship with him. In John 8:12, it says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So darkness is not the opposite of light. It's not the opposite. It is the absence of light. So when the lights are off, there's just no light. So it looks dark. When you switch on a light, where does the darkness go? Yeah, it's there all along, but we switch on the light and that's where we want to live. We want to live in a place where the world can seem very dark around us, but we carry that light. We carry the light of Christ, and the darkness has to flee. The more we walk in the light, the more the darkness has to retreat. We are ambassadors of Christ. We walk with the shoes of peace. As we advance, the darkness has to leave. Light stands for purity, holiness, truth, and life, while darkness stands for sin, falsehood, and death. So if he's all light and there's no darkness in him, when we have darkness, we can't be in fellowship with him. We can't, not because he loves us any less, it's because he can't tolerate sin. He can't tolerate the darkness. If we, in John 1:6 says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Yes. The word fellowship comes from the Greek word koinonia, as we've heard many times before. And it means partnership and shared life. So this implies a deep, intimate connection with Christ. We need to be able to come open and freely. We cannot have this type of fellowship with God unless we're walking in his light and truth, aligning our lives with his truth and holiness. Walking in darkness suggests a lifestyle inconsistent with the teachings of Christ, where believers are called to live as children of the light. I want you to take a few minutes right at the beginning to think of something in your life that's still in the dark. It might be a secret sin, as we sometimes refer to it, which we knowingly and willingly engage in, or it may be something that was done to you, maybe something you took part in that you regret being a part of, perhaps something you don't want anyone to know about. It might be a big thing, or you might consider it a small thing, like road rage or irritation or gossip or rage, maybe your spending habits. But if it keeps you in bondage, we want to trust for freedom from that today. And I really sense, as the shofar blew, that was signifying that opening of that space, that we can actually walk in freedom, that we break through that darkness, that bondage of shame. So think of that, and as I share this morning, let's work towards freedom. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you're tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. So this reminds us there's nothing we have to feel alone in, or that it's too shameful to share with anyone. Isolation is one of the enemy's key tactics. When we feel shame, we isolate, we hide. I know so many people where they have said they feel shame and they don't want to come to church, or they haven't been in church for months and they don't want to come because of that. I said, but that's the enemy. That's not us. We're not. That's not on us to, even if we say it's great to see you again, we genuinely mean it. We're happy you're back. We're excited to journey through whatever you've been journeying through while you've been gone. So don't allow the enemy to isolate you in shame. It's got to come out. We've got to be walking in the light. Temptation in itself is not sin. The enemy can tempt us with all kinds of things. We know that as we walk around. As we were driving in this morning, I saw there's a new advert as you come into the waterfront on the side of a specific club where people wear very little clothing. And it's offensive to see that on a Sunday morning or any other time. But we are in a world where we keep seeing these things. They're thrown in our face. Temptation is not the sin. It's what we do with that temptation. We're not alone. The battle is often very hard, but not impossible. Certainly is harder if not confessed and we're not held accountable by others. As we continue to journey with God into his scripture this morning, think of that thing, that secret sin or that thing that brings shame. Today is the day we're going to wage war on the things that have the potential to hold us back or cripple us from walking the fullness of what Christ has for us. I've seen in my own life over 20 years of walking with the Lord, the things that seemed minor have just magnified over the years. The things I thought, it's just a little thing. It's not a big deal. It's not hurting anybody. We all know those lies, those things that we tell ourselves. And those things are what holds us back from walking the fullness of Christ over time. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We are not victims, but victors. Sin has no hold on us. That is the truth, whether you feel it or not, whether you believe it or not. We fight from a place of victory because Christ won that victory on the cross, not because of what we can do. John 8:34-36, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." None of us want to be slaves. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. Hallelujah. That is us, sons and daughters of the Most High. So if the son sets you free, you will be?
Free.
Hallelujah. Yes. There is so much hope in Jesus. He's already won the victory. We are partakers in that victory. So we can fight from that place. We come already winning. I would love to be on that team. We are on that team, actually. When we watch sports events, we don't know the outcome. We don't have to be in that position. We know the outcome. Yeah. Isaiah 9:2 says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." Those were the Israelites. That may be you today, feeling you're in a land of great darkness. But we see that light. We walk towards the light. John 1:5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." I've been repeating that to myself for a while, where I'm just reminded we come from a place of victory. Darkness cannot overcome the light that lives in me. As we allow Jesus' light to shine into our lives, his light exposes the dark areas of our lives, those places which we prefer to keep hidden. So that might feel very exposing or painful when the Lord just pushes his finger on those things. And I really have seen in my own life, he does that when we're ready. I sometimes wish that when we came to Christ that day, we just show us all the stuff and we could deal with it, do a very big weekend, just a weekend of coming clean. But I realized I'd probably die from, like, I didn't know I was that unworthy. But praise the Lord, He loves us in that space, and he keeps journeying with us through these things. And there's layers. And he keeps saying, I kind of look back and I say, well, I don't swear. I used to. I don't swear. That makes me okay. And then he's like, yeah, but you gossip. Yeah, but you judged that girl yesterday. Okay, but I don't swear. There's no levels. The Lord wants us to be more like Christ. And we can't find healing if it's not exposed. We don't even know it's there. And I think that's the beauty where we go for things like inner healing, where things we've forgotten about, things said to us as children, things we were part of and have forgotten or pushed aside or pushed away. And the Lord just goes, that's what happened there. And we deal with it, and then we walk in a new level of freedom where we get to see the Lord is faithful. It's much more exhausting to live in fear of someone finding out what we're hiding. God knows these things anyway, so we can easily bring it to him. It's no surprise. Claiming fellowship with God while living in sin is a contradiction, as God is holy and cannot be associated with darkness. So light and darkness cannot coexist. So when we feel a bit uncomfortable about certain things, that is often a conviction of, like, we've got to deal with this. As believers, we must choose to walk in the light, rejecting sinful behaviors. Acknowledging and turning away from sin is essential for maintaining genuine fellowship with God. As Belene shared in her sermon 2 weeks ago from Revelation 3:16, when Jesus is speaking to the church in Laodicea and says, "So because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth." Let's not live in that place where Jesus is going to want to spit us out. All right, so number one was God is light. There's no darkness in him. Number two, we cannot walk with him and in darkness. And number three, walking in the light, it's fellowship. We have fellowship with Christ, with others, and our sins are cleansed. So verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." So honesty about sin is non-negotiable. We can pretend, but at the end of the day, we're going to struggle. We're going to be carrying those weights with us all the time. It's self-deception when we say that we are free of sin. When we confess our sin, it brings God's forgiveness. We want to walk in that space. He offers us that forgiveness, that grace. James 4, 7 to 8 says, "So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world." Luke 8, 17 says, "For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out in the open." This is quite a scary verse for me. I think there's things in my life, I don't want that exposed. I don't want everyone to hear the words I've spoken about people or the things that I've done in my life, but it also brings me to a place of freedom, thinking, I want to deal with it now. I don't want to get to heaven one day and it's still there, or we have to talk about it or deal with it. Once we confess our sins and receive forgiveness, we are free to enjoy true deep fellowship with others, as we're not trying to cover up anything or live in fear of finally being exposed. So I encourage you today, make sure you have one person, at least one person who knows a lot about you, whether that's your husband or wife, your best friend, a family member, someone that you can just go, "I'm struggling with this," and they know it's a red flag. And they can say, "You're not living, it's not lining up to scripture with this decision you've made." Allow them to speak into your life. Again, isolation is dangerous. I'm sure many of us know at least one person who has compromised step by step until the point of walking away from a life of purity they committed to, or walking away from their marriage or their faith. Hallelujah. Okay. Walking away doesn't happen overnight. And I think that's what we forget. It's those little decisions we make, those little choices we make every day that might seem mundane, that might seem small, but they add up, they count. It starts with a few compromises which lead us down a path further and further away from purity and holiness and obedience to Christ. Before we know it, we're living a life of lawlessness, self-indulgence, and idolatry. Galatians 6, 7 to 8 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." What are we sowing to? Are we sowing into the things of the Lord? Are we sowing into the things of the world that gratify the flesh, that feel good for a little while? But eventually we will stumble in that. James 5:16 says, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." This verse underscores the importance of confession and community. So in a short while, I want to leave enough time for ministry today, because I know this is a tough word. This is something that is, I'm sure, many of you are wrestling with. Lord, do I really have to share that thing today? Yes. Yes, that thing. This is a safe space. This is God's house. We want to walk in freedom together. We want to celebrate with each other, walking more like Christ. So we're going to have a few facilitators who can pray with you today. And if it's something that you feel you can't share today at all, that you're just glued to your seat, you're like, "Lord, not today, I'm not ready, I'm not doing it," there's grace for that. We have a wellness ministry as well that you can sign up for and say, "I want to journey with someone slowly through this." But sin is real, and fellowship with God is possible. But we need to come in repentance. We need to expose these things to the light and live in honesty and not in denial. Denial is easier. I think I'm quite perfect when I'm in denial. Then I have friends who point out things, and then it's painful, and it's easier to walk away from them. And I think that's part of why the Lord encourages marriage. It's a place where you get close enough to someone to actually, where you can't run away. And some of us who are not married maybe have children that are very closely in our lives, causing those things to come out that we didn't know were inside of us. So roommates, embrace it. Your marriage partners, embrace becoming more like Jesus. Hallelujah. Confession is not just a ritual, but a heartfelt acknowledgement of our sins before God. It involves living transparently before God and others, free from the burden of hidden sin, and is essential for maintaining a healthy relationship with Him. When we have a healthy relationship with Christ, we can have a healthy relationship with others. It's very difficult if we're not in right relationship with Him to have patience and kindness and joy and long-suffering. All right, my last point is, walking in the light is warfare. Just when you thought I had an easy ending, it is warfare. A friend once quoted something that really stuck in my mind, and she said, You can stumble into sin, but you can't stumble out of it. You have to fight your way out of it. Isn't that true? We just see something, we just decide on something for the day, and suddenly we find ourselves there. Like, how did I get here? And it's very easy to walk into it. It's very easy to stumble into it, but we have to fight out of it. In a teaching from Dean Sherman, he said, spiritual warfare is not just a prayer prayed or a demon rebuked. It is a life lived. I'm going to repeat that. Spiritual warfare is not just a prayer prayed or a demon rebuked. It is a life lived. So sometimes we go on a weekend away. Shofar has our encounter series where you may have gone for a weekend, and we rebuke things and we pray over things. And that's great, and that's part of it. But we need to, it's in a life we live through forgiveness, through serving, through kindness. All of that is spiritual warfare, actually, where we come up against what is easier. Where we come in, when we come clean in accountability and say, I'm struggling with this, pray for me. That is warfare, because we're no longer isolated. We're no longer in self-denial. The enemy does not enjoy that. So to live a life waging one's sin, there's a few steps we can take. There's many. This is just a few. We've spoken a lot about the Holy Spirit recently since Big Group. So we need the Holy Spirit to empower us to walk in the light. It's applying the blood. It's the Holy Spirit leads us in that. We need to put on the full armor of God every day. How many of us do that? Sure. We need to remember we are spiritual beings. With God has given us this armor that sometimes lies there. We need the mind of Christ, helmet of salvation. Worship, we declare his praises. Did you feel the warfare this morning in worship? Fasting, yes. Some of us have been practicing that recently, getting into those routines again. Meditate on the word and declare his truth. And pray. Prayer is very important. Alice reminded me of a quote by John Piper that said, life is war. That's not all it is, but it is always that. And then he continued, mainly focusing on prayer, which I thought was profound. He said, our weakness in prayer is owing largely to our neglect of this truth. Prayer is primarily a wartime walkie-talkie, those little communicating, for the mission of the church as it advances against the powers of darkness and unbelief. It's not surprising that prayer malfunctions when we try to make it a domestic intercom to call upstairs for more comforts in the den. How many of us are praying for comforts, things that are comforting? Kind of like, Lord, we're down here, we're fighting, send supplies. It's war. God has given us prayer as a wartime walkie-talkie so that we can call headquarters for everything we need as the kingdom of Christ advances in the world. Prayer gives us significance of frontline forces and gives God the glory of a limitless provider. That's the important part of warfare, that God gets the glory. It's not what we've done. The one who gives the power gets the glory. Thus, prayer safeguards the supremacy of God in missions while linking us with endless grace for every need. We are not passive bystanders or innocent victims in the battle between light and darkness. God has delegated responsibility and authority to us. He's given us weapons for this fight. We should not neglect them and merely be swept away in the battle. So we are not victims. We are victorious in this battle. That's the good news. It's war, but we've already won it. I've often found myself being swept away in frustration and anger. We might call them little foxes, the things that just, at a later stage, I finally recognize what they are and then declare the truth, take authority and command the peace and joy to return. Just this week, I actually felt I was constantly raging a battle with my son. And I think it was Elsa who was with me. And she said, that's a spirit of rebellion. I said, I've got to practice when I'm preaching. And while I was brushing my teeth, I just started praying and commanding. And I was like, spirit of rebellion. And I came out and he was lying quietly, stroking the cat on the bed. I was like, thank you, Jesus. It is possible. But how often we just get swept along, especially as those of us who parents understand, sometimes find ourselves screaming and yelling and we don't know how we got to that space. But we just allowed the circumstances to overwhelm instead of taking authority. We have authority over demonic spirits because of the authority God has given us. We don't need to be victims or wounded soldiers lying in a fetal position in this battle. We can put on the full armor of God and advance. And that's the important part. We're not just fighting in one place, we're advancing. The kingdom of darkness, we are advancing with Christ's light. Deuteronomy 24 says, "For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to give you victory." 2 Chronicles 20:15 says, "Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours but God's." As the two verses above remind us, being saturated by God's word is one of the best weapons of warfare. It's living, and it equips us to know which way to advance in this battle and encourages us that the Lord is with us and he battles. The battle is his. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So we want to advance in the right direction with the King of Kings, the head of armies. So in summary, we're going to end soon. God is light. There is no darkness in him. We cannot walk with him and in darkness. He will spit us out. Walking in the light is fellowship. It gives us fellowship with him and with others, and our sins are cleansed. Walking in the light is warfare. So before we have a time of ministry, I just want to share with you 4 practical applications, so things that we can remember in how to do this in our lives. Examine your life, number one. Regularly assess whether your life reflects the light of Christ or the areas of darkness that need to be addressed. So that is tough, but I think that's why we have that person in our life where we can ask each other those questions every week and say, is there anything in my life that is not reflecting Christ? I'm sure there will be. Expect that. That's okay. We're not perfect until the day we meet Jesus. Number 2, cultivate fellowship. I think that's very difficult where we want to isolate, especially. But engage in meaningful relationships with other believers who can pray with you, hold you accountable, and help you stay close to Christ. Number 3, practice confession. Make confession a regular part of your spiritual discipline, acknowledging your sins before God and seeking his forgiveness. I remember a friend I was discipling years ago said, "Every night I go to bed, before I go to bed, I confess my sins to God, and then I go to bed feeling bad." That's definitely not receiving his forgiveness. We confess to receive his forgiveness, his grace, his mercy, and then we can sleep peacefully because we brought those things before him. Number 4, live authentically. I don't know about you, but I'm allergic to people who are not real. I struggle with those who are like, "Hello, everything's amazing." And I've realized over the years it's because I've sensing these things that they are not being vulnerable about, not being real about. Happy people are amazing, not happy people. It's where there is we need to be vulnerable, we need to be transparent, genuine, thank you, yes. Because it's hard to have a deep relationship, a meaningful relationship with someone where you're not sure if you're getting everything you're supposed to be getting. You're giving and you're not sure. So strive to live a life of integrity where your actions align with your professed beliefs. I'm sure we have colleagues and friends and many on social media that we know them, perhaps know them in real life and think, "Wow, you look amazing in your presentation, but behind the scenes there's no integrity." Ephesians 5, verse 8-14 says, "At one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" And this morning, I'm going to, in a moment, just play a song that I feel represents this battle between light and darkness, to be vulnerable, to be willing to bring those things before the Lord. And this is not a condemning word. This is not supposed to be a hard word. This is, I don't want you to sit with those things that would isolate and bring shame and fester for years to come. The longer you leave shame, the more it gets fed, the more it breeds more shame. So we want to be able to come before the Lord this morning and experience that freedom, bring those things. There's nothing in this world that you've been through that someone else hasn't been through or that Christ doesn't understand. It's not even about who you share it with today. It's about Jesus. It's about Christ. He already loves us. He already knows. So that thing you've been like, oh, that happened to me and I just haven't been able to deal with it. That's no surprise to Christ. So I'm going to play the song via low, please. And after that, we're going to go into a time of ministry where we can pray together.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
'Cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name. Stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by Jesus, your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn light.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, Jesus.
Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name.
just wanna speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within His presence. I speak to
you. Amen. So, an invitation for those of you who don't know this Jesus, firstly, we would love you to come to the front that we can pray with you in a minute. And as I mentioned, we want to open that invitation. We're going to facilitate this in the front. And if there's something that the Lord has been showing you in your own heart, there might be 10 things and He's highlighting one of them today, then I want you to come forward and pray with us this morning. We are ready. We are ready to journey with you from a place of shame and isolation to freedom and walking in transparency and freedom with and fellowship with Jesus. Galatians 5:1 says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." So as the band comes up, I want to invite you. If you don't know this Jesus, please come and pray with us. And if you are sensing this is your time to come for breakthrough, please come and pray with us this morning.